Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Lord, just say, ask that you help us to be free in our worship today. That we praise you, we give you the honor and the glory that you're deserving of. That we just give you everything today, Lord. And God, I just ask that you help us to understand your word. You let it take root in our spirit. And you help us, Lord, to carry out the plans you have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Can I tell you that we go through these moments, right? Exactly what this song is talking about. Moments of maybe confusion, or where we just feel burdened, or we just feel like, God, I am not understanding what is happening with my life. Whatever it might be. The word already tells you that He's already paid the price for you. That He's already made you more than a conqueror in Him. You know, we talked about this. I know I mentioned this last week, but I feel like God just... When Jesus died upon the cross, it gave a gift that's unlike anything else, and it's that ability to just one-on-one meet with God on a regular basis. When we look at the Old Testament, they did. They had to go through a priest who then would do sacrifices, which then would be able to go after God. And that's the thing. There was ways to do it, right? But when He died upon that cross, there was a covering that went over all of your sins. And it opened up a door for you to be able to have communion one-on-one with God every day. To have those moments where when you're struggling, you can stop where you're at and say, God, I just need you with me in all of it, and I know you're here. It's those moments that we can go to Him for comfort. It's those moments that when we're unsure of something, we can go to Him for answers. Because it doesn't matter where you are in your life and what's happening, He knew it before you got there. It's why a relationship with God is so important. It's the difference between plain church and knowing who God is. Because the church really did get stuck in this rut, right? Of just, we come to church, we worship, and then we do a service, and then we do this, and this is how this should go. And then when I leave on Sunday, I go back to every single day life. That's not the way it was meant to be. He paid a price for you that you might be able to commune with Him daily, every moment, regardless of what's happening, regardless of the highs or the lows. Don't look to man for what God already gave you as a gift. That gift of the Holy Spirit. That discerning sword that will pierce bone and marrow. Because that's the thing, is you don't need anybody to tell you how. This is why we teach independently dependent on God. Because when you have a question, go to Him. When you're unsure, go to Him. He will give you answers. He will show you exactly what you need in the moment that you need it. Oh, yeah, yeah. I raise a hallelujah. It really is a weapon. Worship. That ability to just say, whatever's happening around me, God, I'm focused on you. I'm looking at you for what I need. I'm going after you for the answers. I'm going after you for the things in my life. I'm going after you for the direction. I'm going after you for church, come on. The Bible says that he is the I am. I am your doctor. I am your therapist. I am your father. I am your friend. I am everything you need in the moment that you need it. You don't need to turn anywhere else. Woo. Hallelujah. That is something to be excited about. It is something to rejoice about because you already have everything you need if you keep your eyes focused on the one who created you, on the one who's painting the masterpiece. He will give you every single thing you need.
How do you thank the Lord? Amen? Come on, man. I love this song. This is how I thank the Lord. Folks, this is the way I thank the Lord. Woo, come on, Lord. Hallelujah. That's how I thank the Lord. You know, it's time to get crazy for Jesus. Amen? Amen. I mean, you know, I like services that are moving. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Know what I mean? You know what I mean? Come on, man.
Yeah.
I like to see service. Oh, man, you know. Hallelujah. Keep playing that. Keep that going. Thank you, Pastor. Yeah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Is that your chair? Yeah. Thank you, Lord. You can be seated here. Hallelujah. I feel like the Lord wants me to read a scripture right off the bat, so we're gonna. This is what he just put on my heart. Hallelujah. This is Paul talking to the Corinthians in chapter 1. Keep playing, because I really feel that this is going to carry in on the words of this music, all right? All right, guys, keep playing. Keep playing. Hallelujah. So what it says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Is that right? They don't understand. They don't get it. To them, it's foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. How many say amen to that? It's the power of God. For it is written that I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Hallelujah. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Where are they? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? God has got me on this thing about all these isms that are in the world, that God is making them look foolishness because of the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? When I compare the isms to Jesus, when you compare those things, they're foolishness. They're ideas of men. Amen? We need to be kingdom idea people. How many say amen to that? Kingdom idea people. Hallelujah. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, didn't know God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Huh. Isn't that good? For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, under the Jews a stumbling block, and under the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, you and me, amen? You and me, to them that are called, all of us, Christ is the power of God and what? The wisdom of God. If he dwells in you, can I tell you, you have a vast well of wisdom that's already dwelling within you. Do you know that? Why would you go anywhere else? Why would you try to go to the world to figure out your problems? Why would you go to men to figure out your problems? You have the wisdom of God already resident within you. Can you say amen to that? Well, I get excited about it because I'm telling you what,
He has worked out my problems when I gone to him. He has told me, hold on, hold on. He's told me that so many times. I say, God, what do you mean, hold on? Do you mean wait or hold on? He says, no, I mean, hold on. I'm going to take you someplace. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Ooh, title of this. It's kind of a strange title because last night when I was looking at this, I'm just about the end of Genesis in my reading for it to start this year. I'm a little behind. I should be a lot further ahead, but for whatever reason, I'm at the end of Genesis. I'm looking at Joseph and all this stuff. So I was looking at some things. I was thinking I'm going to preach something out of Joseph and how faithful he was to God and everything. But I just happened to pass by 2 Chronicles and I saw Asa. How many know who Asa was? Asa was the great grandson of Solomon. David and Solomon had succeeded in putting the kingdom together. Yeah. So there was Israel and Judah together. And Solomon, his son, Rehoboam, made a mistake. Instead of asking wisdom of God, he asked his friends, what do you think I should say to these people? Because Israel had gone to him and said, are you going to be like your dad? Or are you going to be, how are you going to be? You're going to be nice to us? This is Israel, because Judah was ruling. And Rehoboam, young man that he was, smart guy, went to his buddies and asked, hey, what should I do, man? And they said, hey, tell them you're going to be even stronger and worse on them than your father was. So when he told them that, you know what it did? It divided once again. It divided the kingdom. The kingdom was divided again. People that were the Israel, they said, hey, we're not going to follow you, man. We're going to have our own king. And they went and they did. They established their own king. Jeroboam was a guy that began to take over. I love the kings. Did anybody like the king, reading about the kings? Something's bothering me back here. Does anybody like reading about the kings? One guy. 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, we got 5 people, so I'm preaching y'all 5. All right? The rest of you, hang on there, okay? Just hold on. All right? Hold on. Rehoboam had a son. Oh, man. I can't remember what his name was. But he was Asa's dad. I like Asa. I really love the way he started out. But within the years, he began to slip and slide and began to get away. And we're going to read that today. I've got a lot of reading this morning. How many like to hear the word of God read to you? Well, guess what? You're going to get the word today, whether you like it or not. And because I believe there's a beautiful message in this thing. And what, you know, folks, if there's anything that I know God was saying to me last night, because of a scripture, we have a tendency to slip and slide. How many say amen to that? We have a tendency to kind of get cool. Is that right? We kind of have a tendency to yeah, well, you know, I mean, some things. Let me just say, our fire kind of goes out. Has anybody ever been like that? Anybody ever, where your fire gone out? No? Okay. Well, see, there's some honest folks in here, but there's been times where things happen. Sometimes I'm not calling all the rest of you unhonest, but I'm just saying. There have been times that things have gotten kind of bad and my fire kind of got doused. How many say, and you guys know what I'm talking about. Sometimes sickness will do it to you. Sometimes people will do it to you. Most of the time, last time is people. Moses had problem with people. David had problem with people. Jesus had problems with people. But there's a lot of things that will cause your fire to dwindle. Just a pile of ashes with maybe a little bit of heat. Do you guys remember this song, Slip Sliding Away? Last night when I heard it, I was just thinking about it and I looked at some of the words in it. And you're going to hear Steve say some of the words. It talks about how God plans. And then he said his plans he doesn't reveal to mortal man. And can I tell you, folks, you're not mortal when you're in Christ. there is an element of immortality that comes to dwell in you. Do you know that? So his plans are readily available to you if you'll just listen for him, if you'll go to him. Forget about what's going on out there and just go to him. You want to be relevant in the world? You want to be relevant to your children, or relevant to your families, relevant to your neighbors? Stay in the presence of God and you'll be more relevant than you ever have been, because you're in the presence of God and he will show you what's going to happen. He'll show you what things he has for you. But listen to this song just for a minute. And if you want to sing it with him. Some of you, I mean, I know, this is not a church song. But maybe it's got a message for you, okay? Because, folks, if there's anything I know, God doesn't want us to slip sliding away. If anything I know, his heart is that you would be strengthened and built and continue to walk in the light of what he's trying to do for you. Is that okay? So listen to this song as they sang it. All right?
Slip sliding away. You know the near destination, the more you slip sliding away. And God only knows.
Yeah, come on.
God makes his plan. The information is not available to the mortal man. We work our jobs, we collect our pay. I believe we're gliding down the highway, but the truth, we slip sliding away.
Slip sliding away.
Slip sliding away. You know the near destination, the more you slip sliding away.
Sliding away. Slip sliding away. You know the nearer your destination, the more you slip sliding away. One more time. Slip sliding away. Come on. Slip sliding away.
You know the nearer your destination, the more you slip sliding away.
Can I just tell you this morning? God does not want you slipping away. Amen. Hallelujah.
Slip sliding away. You know the nearer your destination, the more you slip sliding away.
I can feel this for whatever reason. I don't know which part of it's really touching me, but I will tell you that God is saying something to us this morning. Hey, we're not done yet. Amen? If you're breathing, he still has things for you. If you're alive in Christ, oh, you've got no idea what he has for you. You've got no idea what's coming up in your life, and he's trying to speak to you, and he doesn't need you slip sliding away. How many say amen to that? Hallelujah. Come, thank you, Steve and guys. Hey, I appreciate that. The last minute, hey, can we play this song? Yeah, we got it, man. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to take you this morning to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. We got a lot of reading this morning, so I'll get going. And I love this account of Asa the king. Hallelujah. His dad's name was Abijah. Amen. It was David, Solomon, Rehoboam, Abijah, and then Asa. Abijah loved the Lord, and he battled with Israel. Israel went to battle and fight against him, when Israel had left, they made a king, Jeroboam, and Jeroboam didn't want his people going to Jerusalem on the holy days. So what Jeroboam did is he set up an altar, and he set up and he made just ordinary people. Hey, you, you look good. Yeah, how about you? Yeah, you over there, you look good. And he made them priests. He didn't care if they're Levites. He just made them priests. So Abijah tells him in a battle, he goes, hey, look, the Lord's on our side. We didn't make up a king. We are the sons of David. David, Solomon, Rehoboam, and now me. Abijah is saying, we didn't make up king. We're here we are. And guess what? We have the Lord on our side. We didn't just take anybody. Abijah kind of lays it out to him, man. You guys picked your own people, whoever, man, of the crowd. Whoever looked good to you, you picked to be priests. So Abijah called on the Lord, and the Lord defeated Israel. And it's a beautiful story. So the blessing that came on Elijah, the Bible talks about that his ending years were in peace. He actually, there was peace in Israel. And this is about the time when Asa comes in. And Asa has now taken over for his father. I'm going to start here at verse 8. We'll go all the way through the chapter. And Asa had an army of men that bear targets and spears. And out of Judah, 300,000 out of Benjamin that bear shields and drew bows. 280,000. All of these were mighty men of valor. That's 200. I did a little math. I'm not good with math. My calculator is good with math. So I used it. And that's 280,000 men is what it's saying there in those scriptures. And I said, there came out against him Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of 1,000,000. What's 1,000,000? A million. Is that right? So it's a million against 280,000. And more math, I guess, if you want. that ends up about 3.5 people per person. Is that okay? To fight a battle. What are the odds? Doesn't look good, does it? A million people came from Ethiopia. He had 1,300 chariots and came to Maresha. And Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array. Again, the Valley of Zephatha at Maresha. I like these names, they're nice. Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with you to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. I like his prayer. Help us, Lord. Amen. It's a million, probably look like a sand of the sea. Help us, O Lord, our God. For we rest in thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude, O Lord. Thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them to Gerar. And the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host. And they carried away very much spoil. They smote all the cities round about Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them. And they spoiled all the cities, and there was exceeding much spoil in them. And they smote also the tents of the cattle, and carried away sheep and camels in abundance to Jerusalem. Mighty battle, big battle. And when they won, they went and chased them, and they carried away all their spoils. They got all their stuff. They got animals. They got a lot of stuff. Do you know that's pretty cool? Is that right? And that's what you get for coming against the armies of God. Amen? don't come against them. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. But so it was a great battle. They got a lot of stuff. I mean, say stuff. Everybody say stuff. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said to him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, The Lord is with you. And I'm going to say, hear them. Hear this word, all of us. The Lord is with you while you be with him. If you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Isn't that crazy? And he goes on. This is the prophecy he's speaking. He says, now for a long season, Israel has been without a true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times, there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. See what happens when you forget about God? Great vexations come on. A nation was destroyed of nation, a city of city, and God did vex them with all adversity. Who vexed them? Who?
God.
Tell me again, one more time. What does it say? Who vexed them?
God.
The Bible says God vexed them. Is that right? Be strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Is that what this is what the prophet's saying to Asa. And when Asa heard these words, the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of all the cities which he had taken from the Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all of Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord God was with them. Isn't it something? How much these people, all the people that were around them, they were having all these troubles and they were having all these. But when this happened, when Asa submitted himself to God, God brought, and all these people, they came. Why? Because they saw that God was with Asa. Is that right? Isn't that cool? That's very cool. Can I tell you, this still happens today. People will come to you because of the gospel, because of who's in you, because of Jesus in your life. Do you know that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm waiting to see it here. And I believe, folks, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. When we decide that it's Jesus or nothing. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, well, we'll talk about that. We're going to get into that. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month in the 15th year of Asa. I want you to just remember 15th year. Do some math with you. It was his 15th year of ruling. He wasn't 15 years old. He was 15 years of ruling as king. And they offered unto the Lord the same time the spoil which they had brought. It says 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. Isn't that cool? Here's a nation that is experiencing a change, a mighty change. Because God is doing something. And it says, and whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be what? Put to death. Is that right? That's crazy. That's change. Whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear to the Lord with a loud voice and with shoutings and trumpets and cornets and jumping and dancing. And I just added that. Okay, forget it. All right. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. And also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa, the king, he removed her from being queen. What? Mom wasn't. Because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa cut down her idol, stamped it, and burnt it at the brook of Kidron. But the high places were not taken away out of Israel, neither was a heart. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. Everybody say perfect. 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 And he brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated and himself had dedicated, silver and gold and vessels. And there was no more war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. How many years was there no more wars? 20 years. 20 years of peace. Can you say amen? Isn't that nice? But how many of you know that God, Jesus told us, hey, man, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. Is that right? How many know that? Here, Asa's experience in a time when he's got lots of stuff. Amen? He took in a lot of stuff. I mean, how many sheep got sacrificed? Was it 7,000? 7,000? That's just a portion. That's the Lord's portion of what they took in. So they had a lot of stuff. Can I tell you that, do you know that peace and stuff, everybody say stuff. You got to be careful with it. Do you know that? It will cause you to slide backwards. Do you know that? Because everything's going good. We're good. And we got all our stuff. And, you know, praise the Lord. Yeah, hi, hallelujah. But you just quit entering in your closet. You quit going to God for the things that you see coming up in your life. See, folks, how many know it's easy to slide away? Do you know that? It's easy. It doesn't take a lot. Yeah. 20 years. And in the 21st year, here it comes. Chapter 16 of 2 Chronicles says this, in the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. And Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord. That same treasures that he placed in it, he brought them out and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and you. And there was between my father and your father, behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel, and they smote Ijon and Dan and Abel-Maim and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass that when Baasha heard about it, that he left off building at Ramah and let his work cease. And Asa the king took all Judah and carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof wherewith Baasha was building. And he built therewith Geba and Mizpah, a couple of cities. And at that time, Hanani, everybody say Hanani. It's one of those nosy guys. Is that all right? He's a seer. What's a seer? It's a prophet. He's one of God's guys. Amen. How many of you know, just when you're doing it wrong, God sends somebody to you? Is that right? Yeah. Anybody ever gotten that? He sends somebody to help you out. Amen? Here, Hanani's getting ready to help out Asa. And Hanani, at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, hey, bro, because you have relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord your God, therefore, this host is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of your hand. We're not the Ethiopians. And now he's going to remind him of his past. How many like people reminding you of your past? This past was at least 20 years, 21 years ago. He says, would not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you did rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thy hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. And here's the part. Here, Hanani says, herein you have done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, you shall have wars. Then Asa was wroth with the seer. Can you get it? Apparently, Asa had positioned himself. Asa had allowed himself to slip and slide backwards. Is that okay? Can I tell you, wealth things, possession of things, peacetime can cause you to slide. Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in prison in the prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. He got mad. How many say amen? Asa got mad. And Asa oppressed some of the people at that time. So it began to spread out all across. This was the man that said, hey, man, if you don't serve God, we'll kill you. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and of Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet. Listen to this. Until his disease was exceeding great, yet in his disease, he sought not the Lord, but to the physicians. Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 114th year of his reign. 40th year of his reign. Listen, his 36th year was when that Baasha, king of Israel, came against him. 3 years later, he got sick. 39th year. And 2 years later, he passed away. Crazy, huh? Why? Because he forsook the Lord. He slid back into a position where even when a man of God came and talked to him about it, he didn't repent. He got mad. Put him in jail. You would think if he's a man of God, I would say, man, are you gonna put him in jail? You can put him in prison? Are you kidding me? See, his anger had so overwhelmed him that he did that to the prophet, and he also began to oppress the people. He allowed things to slide away. Slip and slide. Anybody ever have a slip and slide? Anybody ever get on a slip and slide? They're more fun when you put them on a hill. Isn't that right? Then you end up with bruises and stuff, man. But I'm here to tell you this morning that I believe God wants to let you know that, hey, I've got everything that you need. Is that okay? Everything you need. You need nothing but him. Is that okay? He is the unshakable. He is the unchanging person of the unshaking kingdom. This kingdom is unshakable that you're in. And my God, he is everything you need. He is your resource. He is your source. Is that okay? Always consult him first. I've got nothing wrong with people going to the doctor. Amen? But don't let them be your source. Let the Holy Spirit and the Word of God be the source that directs you and leads you and guides you. Hallelujah. No matter what's going on in your body, nevertheless, the Word of God says that by his stripes you've been healed. Let me say amen to that. Tell your body to shut up. You are healed. Stop it. According to God's word. Not my word. I'm speaking God's word. Aren't you glad that he says that he's not a liar nor a son of man that he should lie? Aren't you glad that he says that to you? Aren't you glad that he tells you, I will not lie to you. If you'll take up my word, you'll see. You'll see. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says this, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. See, it's just a matter of faith. How many know that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen? It's a matter of faith. Just hold on. Just hold on to that faith. Go see your doctor. Go see the lawyer to find out about bankruptcy or whatever. I mean, go see them. But always keep God up front. Amen? 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 Amen. Don't count it as a just a, don't count what's going on in your life as a thing that, well, I'll just work it out. Don't count it that way. Go to him, say, Lord, I need help. Just like Asa did before when he saw those guys, he goes, help, Lord. With you, you can help with a lot of people, whether it be a lot or a little. And Lord, right now we're little. Help. Anybody ever said, Lord, help? I remember a preacher getting up and he says, let's pray. I'm going to read this. He goes, before I speak, let me speak. He said, let's pray. And he said, help. And then he said, okay, amen. And then, come on, help me. Amen. Why have we gotten to a place where we think we don't have to go to God for the things that are going on in life? Why have we gotten that way? Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 says this. Therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things that which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. The writer of Hebrews is telling us there's a possibility if you don't pay attention, you can let those things that you've learned, the things that God has placed within you, you're going to let them slip if you don't pay attention. How many of you know that Asa let them slip? And when somebody reminded him about it, he got mad. And sometimes there's people in the kingdom of God that you remind them about the things of God and they get mad at you. Amen? You tell them, hey, man, don't you remember this, that, and that? What are you doing? Oh, get out of my house. They get mad. It's okay. You don't let them slip. See, the Bible of God tells us that we are in charge, right? Every man, your soul is in your hand, is what the scriptures tell you. Your soul is in your hand. You can do with it what you want. Keep it before the Lord. I spoke this to a lady the other day. I said, listen, wherever you go, whatever you do, she's leaving to Tennessee somewhere. Somewhere in Tennessee. She just said Tennessee. She said, pray for me because I need some prayer. I said, okay, pray for you. Remember, get up in the morning, read your Bible. Get up in the morning and ask God to lead and guide your day. And you'll watch. He'll prosper you in whatever you do because you are putting him first. How many of you know that's true? How many of you know, is this what you do? Or do you wait till, now I lay me down to sleep and God keep my soul? I can't even know this prayer. Is that the only time you talk to him? Talk to him. He saved you. He paid a price for you. Amen? I'm going to read this in the TPT. Therefore, let me read it first in the King James first. It says, okay. Therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now let's look at it in a TPT. It says, this is why it is so crucial. Everybody say crucial. Crucial. That we be all the more, everybody say engaged. Engaged and attentive to the truths that we have heard so that we do not, what? Drift. Slip, slide in the way. So we don't drift off course. Folks, this world will try to get you to drift. Is that right? It will try to move you out and drift and get you off course and get you to slide away. Hey, your soul is in your hand. Recognize. I said something to the guys yesterday that the internet, I believe, is so distractive to people in the kingdom that they don't even realize what God is trying to say to them. Because they are so busy with the internet, they're not listening to what God is saying. Can I tell you, that's a dangerous place to be. Because when things come, you might not even recognize what he's doing. Can I tell you, the Pharisees did not recognize it. Some of them did, but not all of them. Huh. There was a slipping going on. Hallelujah. Revelation 2:5. How many like the book of Revelation? Ooh, I love the book of Revelation. I don't get into it a lot because a lot of it, God doesn't tell me to get in there. So I kind of stay away but when he gives me words, he says, go to Revelation. Let me show you this. All right. And so I go in, I look at the word. I go, yeah, come on. It's important. It's important to you that you allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you through the scriptures. Is that okay? Because once he's trying to say something to you, he'll give you, there is something that the Bible says that by two or three witnesses, everything will be established. So when the Holy Spirit's talking to you, he'll not only show it to you one place in the Bible, he'll show it to you in another. And then he'll show it to you in another. And then he'll show it to you in another. And then it establishes something in your heart. And it's called revelation. It hits your heart. It becomes revealed to you. And then it gets placed on your heart like a picture hanging on a wall. Isn't that cool? How many of you want a bunch of pictures of the gospel of Christ hanging on the wall of your heart? You'll be surprised that when you're talking to somebody, how many of those pictures come off the wall and into your mouth. Isn't that cool? Hallelujah. Big, come out and hit somebody. Come on. Verse 25 of Revelation 2 says this, but that which you have already, hold fast till I come. King James, let's put it in the TPT. Cling tightly. Amen? Yep. Cling tightly to all that you have until I appear. All that he's given you, cling tightly. God is saying something. He says, hey, I want you to hold on to this. I was going to do a demonstration, but how many of you have ever had a piece of duct tape fold over and try to pull it apart? Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that stuff clings tightly. Amen? You might as well not even waste your time. Amen? There's some things that really cling tight. I remember I was in a dentist's office one day, and I was getting a cap put on, and the guy had the new piece. They had measured it. It was years ago, so they had measured and everything, sent off, had it made, and then had put it. And now he's got it in his hand, and he put it in, told me to bite down. I bit down, took it off. He did a little grinding in there, you know. Anyway, did a little grinding and then put it back in and bite down and it did real good. He goes, okay. So then he pulls it out and he's holding it. He's got it in his hand and he puts this glue in there. And he's got it. And then all of a sudden his secretary comes over to start talking to him. So for whatever reason, while he's talking to her, he's doing this with it. And so, you know, where he put it in and pulled it out, it should have been back in the same place. So he's spinning it around his fingers, and I'm watching him. And then she finishes telling him what she needed to tell him. And he says, okay. And he says, open up. And he stuck it in there, and he told me, now bite down. And I bit down, and my jaw went, one went this way. And he looked at me. Oh, sorry. And he looked at it. He goes, oh, no. And he opened your mouth, and he's trying to have one of those hooks. You guys know what the hooks are? You know, I'm going to say this because this is the second time it's come. You know, they've told you not to brush. They tell you to brush in a certain direction. Now, some of you might be dentists in here, but they tell you that if you brush too hard, you can ruin the enamel in your teeth. Have you ever heard that?
Yep.
And you know what? I notice that if I go get my teeth clean, they pull out the stainless steel blade on a little hook and they scrape like crazy on my tooth. I say, hey, watch the enamel. They don't care. They're not worried about it. And yeah, you know what? I think they want you not to brush too hard so they can have something to scrape off. What do you think? Yeah, you can't get nothing over this. Come on, man. I got the wisdom of God up here, bro. Oh, man, come on, man. God wants his word to cling to you where it cannot be pulled apart. I should tell you that he yelled to one of the nurses, hey, get over here, bring the C-123A, whatever that was. You know what it was? It was a little chain, had a little tiny, like a clevis. It's a U that has a bolt in it, but this bolt had a point on it. On the end of that chain was this little rod about this long. It was a slide hammer. I'm a mechanic. I know what a slide hammer is. He's got that. He puts that thing and it's hanging out in my mouth. He hooks a slide hammer to it and boom, 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 pops out. He goes, we're going to have to redo this. You're going to have to come back. Yeah, okay, thanks. But it stuck. It adhered. God wants his word to adhere to you that it never, ever leaves. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Cling to the things that he's given you. Don't let up. Don't give them away. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 in the TPT. While writing, write the following to the messenger of the congregation in Sardis. We'll just say Green Valley. United States of America and the world, for these are the words of the one who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know all that you do, and I know. See, but I know everything you do. Isn't that cool? How many say, uh-oh? Yeah, he knows everything you do. I know everything you do, and I know that you have a reputation for being really alive, right? See the alive? But you're actually what? What? This is Jesus talking. You think you're alive, but you're actually dead, man. Wake up. Strengthen all that remains before it dies. Do you see what God is saying to us this morning? Hold on to the things I've given you, folks. This is what God's saying. Hold on. Hold on to the things. Take them. Go over them. Speak them in your house to yourself. Stand in front of a mirror and speak the words that God has given you over something, whatever it is. Just continue to speak. Wake up, strengthen all that remains before it dies, for I haven't found your works to be perfect in the sight of my God. So remember all the things. Remember all the things you received and heard. Then turn back to God and obey them. Amen?
Amen.
See, there's one thing about hearing. But now he's saying, you've heard him, but obey him. You know, with some folks, that can be a vast separation. Oh, I heard him. Yeah, I got it. Nah, I got it. Don't worry about me, bro. I got it. But obey them. Amen? Come on, man. Obey them. For if you continue to slumber, I will come to you like a thief. Isn't that? How have we heard that before? I'll come to you like a thief, and you'll have no idea what hour I come. Oh, hallelujah. Revelation 3:11 says this, behold, I come quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no man takes your crown. What have you got? What is it that God has placed within you? A lot of the things that you've gone through. See, we all receive different things from God at different times. Let me say amen to that. Sometimes we hear things and we receive them and God is, because God is speaking to, I believe that God, we've asked God to have his way in the congregation in here. Is that okay? So a lot of times what I'm speaking to you might not be what you're hearing. Is that okay? You go, what? What is that about? Because sometimes what I'm speaking to you will trigger something that's going on in your heart and you'll begin to think about things. And I know this to be true because I've listened. I've had people come and say, man, that was really good words you gave today. I said, what's that? And then they'll tell me and then I'll go back. I said, I don't remember saying that. And I'll go back and I'll listen to the, and it's not there at all. I realize that the Holy Spirit is working on hearts. Is that cool? That's what he does. He works on hearts. Sometimes I'll look at somebody, and man, they just got this blank look. Why? Because God is already moving in their life, and he's already saying something to them, and it's important that God has his way in their lives. How many say, that's what, I'm cool with it. I say, God, hey, if they don't want to listen to me, that's fine, but God, I just want them to listen to you. Is that cool? Just you. The guy that's delivering the message is nothing. It's the message and the God that sent the message. Is that right? Is that okay? Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 says this. This is the TPT. Wisdom is the principal thing. How many of you know? Let's put it back in the King James. Let's do the King James first. Wisdom is the principal thing. Everybody say wisdom.
Wisdom.
Principal thing. Right?
Yes.
Therefore, get wisdom, he says. But then he says, and with all you're getting, get understanding. See, understanding is wisdom that knows how to use the wisdom. Does that make sense? Wisdom needs to be understood well. And understanding will cause you to understand it. Is that okay? I like it in the TPT because it's going to tell you what wisdom really is. So let's put that in the TPT. Wisdom is the most valuable commodity, so buy it. And then he says this, revelation. He's talking about understanding. Revelation, knowledge is what you need. So invest in it. So the wisdom is what? Wisdom. What is understanding? It's understanding is revelation. You begin to understand it well. You begin to receive revelation well. Is that okay? Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3 in the King James says this. Through wisdom is a house built, and by understanding it's established. Is that okay? You see, so it's wisdom, you can build a house, but revelation is what establishes it. I want you to get what I'm saying to you. Revelation of what God has already talked to you about things in your life, those things are revelations. I've said it before, they're like pictures. God is putting making a mosaic picture in your wall. You'll get a revelation, it's over here. Then you get another revelation. This is your heart, okay? I'm gonna just put, this is your heart. I can go like this if you want, but this is your heart. He puts a revelation that hits over here in your heart. Here's another one he puts over here. And he gives you another revelation that actually connects the two. And he'll give you another revelation, it enhances the four. Isn't that cool? God, by revelation, builds and strengthens you. The more revelation you have from God, the stronger you'll be. The stronger you are, when somebody's talking to you, and you understand that maybe they don't have what it takes to be a Christian, the words will come to you. God will send those words out of your heart to speak to them in a way that maybe it's impossible that nobody else can. Is that okay? Because everything that you've learned, and God has placed that person with you so that you can minister to them. Isn't that crazy? And that's cool. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25 and then 30. These are some of the scriptures that when I looked at them, I thought, oh yeah, these are great. And then this morning, God said, read them that piece in the morning. So that's why when I spoke this morning, he said, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness, can you go back to that one? The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger. How many say amen? Do you know that? Yeah, well, you should. Everybody should know that. And verse 25 says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Verse 30, I'm sorry. Woo. Verse 30, thank you, Liz. Now it got stuck, yeah. See, I'm even confusing the computer. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made to us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. See, all those things have been made because of what Jesus did in your life, because of the blood of the Lamb. He's given you redemption, righteousness, sanctification, and what? Wisdom. Wisdom. That's Christ dwelling in you. Here is Colossians 1:27 says this, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Is that right? Yep. God wants to make known the riches of the glory of the mystery of God being resident within you, inside of you. And then he says this in the next chapter, to whom Colossians 2:1-2 says, did I just give you two? Or I give you one, two. Okay. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of what? Wisdom and knowledge in Christ. So I just want to say this to you, and I believe this is what God is wanting you to hear, is that you have everything that you need. And you've heard that so many times, you haven't heard it, but I will tell you in the most serious voice that I can, you have everything that you need. You need nothing more. Christ in you. He is the wisdom of God that's within you. If you don't take the time to go to him and say, God, what should I do about this? You end up trying to do it on your own. And you get mad at God because it didn't work out or whatever. And you end up a little bit more slip in your life. because you're mad at God, or you don't see here. This is not what God's up to. God's not trying to hurt you. He's trying to build. He's trying to strengthen you. He's trying to cause you to be in a place where no matter what happens and no matter how long it takes. See, sometimes we in our divine wisdom, we put time frames on God. God, you better have this healed by 2 days from now, or I'm going to go to the doctor. Come on, man. Are you kidding me? Just say, Lord, I believe your word says I'm healed. Lord, I believe your word says that my provisions have been met. Lord, I believe this. I just believe you. I have nothing else that I need. I don't need the world to tell me how to do things. I don't need to be smart. You guys have heard that where Jesus told the disciples, he says, be as wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. Is that right? Did Jesus say that? But he's not talking about the wisdom of this world. He's talking about the wisdom. When he told the apostles, he was talking about the wisdom that he himself had decided before the foundation of the world to place within them, to walk with them. And it is the same wisdom that he's got within you. It's him. It's him. It's him. It's him. It might be a mystery to you, but don't let it be a mystery any longer. Say, Lord, you said to ask and I will receive. You said to knock and it'll be open to me. You said to seek and I will find. Is that what he said?
Yep.
So why do we go anywhere else, folks? Do we go everywhere else because we've slidden back? Do we go everywhere else because we're not as convinced today as we were 20 years ago that God really does care about you and he really does love you? Have you let circumstances rob you of that? Don't allow it. He loves you. He paid a price for you. His son died on a cross to bring you into his presence, to give you the place to say, God, I just need your help. What should I do? And wait. Wait on him. Can I tell you that he knows how fast you need your bills paid? Can you see God said, oh, you got to have it by Friday? Huh, he's not going to do that to you. He knows you. He knows you better than you know yourself. So allow him first place in your life. Allow him the access to your heart to say, hey, look, Henry, this is what I want you to do. Aaron, this is what I want you to do. And you watch. You just rest in him and you watch everything that he does. You'll be singing praises. You'll be sing praises to your name, Lord. I give you all the glory, all the honor. I thought I was lost, but I've been found. Amen. All those songs, you know, that old rugged cross, man, I will cling to the old, all those. God has placed things in your heart. They're for you. They're always for you, and he will not deny you of anything. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Let's stand. Thank you for coming this morning. I'm going to bring my closer up here. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many say this is a fine young man right here? Fine young man. I love you, Mio. Thank you. God bless you, man.
So, you know, one reason we listen to a lot of people, I think, because I know it's been this way in my life, is that, you know, it hasn't been recently, thank God, but, you know, I go to church or something, and I just think, you know, or I go to a certain special service, and I'm like, I'm hoping somebody has a word for me. I hope somebody speaks directly to me, right? And it's always nice when that happens, But you know, you're far more special than that, because God himself will talk to you. But here's the thing. The thing about somebody giving you a word a lot of times, or you seeking for somebody to give you a word, really, is that we could be just not wanting to put in the work of having a relationship with God. Because, you know, that requires us to read the Bible. That requires us to spend time with God, to pray, to serve. It's a lot easier just to get a word. But I'll tell you what's more powerful is when you try to get that wisdom and that understanding for yourself. When you discover through God's word and the Holy Spirit, that new thing that's going to change your life. And I don't know how I can get it into to people's heads sometimes, because, like, you know, me preaching, teaching at times, there I talk to people one-on-one, and I can kind of tell there's this block there. And it's because they don't want to go that next step further. And it's kind of like that church in Sardis. I want to be like that person. It's just like, wake up! Wake up. You don't understand what you're missing out on. It's very easy to be distracted in today's world. Even in church service, you know, I used to be in church service, and I would remember those times where I'm like, I hope this ends soon. I'm hungry. and or else my mind will just be like going to, where am I going to eat? Or we better get to the car fast, because, you know, the parking lot, it'll get jammed up. And, you know, I don't want you to feel like bad if those thoughts are going through your mind. I just want you to be aware. Because we can have so much. If all we do is we seek out God, and we seek out that wisdom, that understanding, we seek out that relationship. You know, one thing I say in youth group a lot is, like, if we hear certain things repeated multiple times within just a few sentences, few paragraphs, it's probably important. Yeah. You know, Pastor was reading from Proverbs chapter 4, and just a few verses before that, it said, take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. The same exact words that we heard just a couple verses later. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Yeah. So please just take that to heart. Get wisdom, get understanding. Don't turn away from them, even when it's hard. Because even though you may see a certain result at one time, there's going to be something after that that's going to be even better. I think it was in Men's Breakfast, we were talking about Joseph and how he, you know, was enslaved. But because of what he went through, he was able to save his family and his people. Who would think that a slave would become that? If he would have just stopped, it's like, it's over. I'm stuck here. This is my life now. If he would have stopped there, you wouldn't have seen that moment of triumph. And that's the way it is with all of us, because God will always make it right for us. Always, God will always do good for us. Bow your heads with me. Lord, I just ask that we cling to this word today, your message. We find the wisdom and the understanding you already have for us. Let us believe that. Lord, I just ask that you strengthen we strengthen our relationship with you. That we want more of you. We seek that with all of our heart. And let us cling to that. Help us. Help us to cling to it and not give up or to let go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ.
We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.